Hello, everyone. Welcome back to my podcast. It's been a while. It's been, I don't know how long, to be honest, maybe almost a year since the last episode, but it's my third episode. And I remember hearing somewhere that, you know, if you've done three episodes of a podcast, you're in the top 10% of podcasts ever made. So I think most people quit at one or two. Not that I'm trying to make it big or anything. I'm just coming on to shoot the shit. But yeah, already in the top 10%. And yeah, today I'm going to be talking about my trip to Tunisia, which is a country in Northern Africa in between Algeria and Libya. And I'll first go over some general things like, you know, what the trip entailed, where we went, some of my other travel experiences, how that compares to Tunisia. But it was a really life-changing trip. I feel like that after most times I travel, especially after going to like more of the real places, not like really touristy places, you know, places where people are, you know, really living, and you know, there isn't many tourists, they, you know, income isn't as high. That's where like you get some of the real interactions. And yeah, I'd say it was a truly life-changing trip. I definitely like learned a lot of lessons, and I feel like, I don't know, just where I'm at in life currently, just definitely feel like I'm, you know, learning some lessons. And you know, that's what life's all about, you know, getting out there, experiencing the world, you know, that, and like how it changes your worldview. So, which I'll get into a bit later, kind of the more deeper philosophical stuff. But now I'll just start with, you know, just describing our trip in case you're watching this because you may visit Tunisia. But yeah, we were there for around 10 days. We landed in the capital of Tunisia, which is Tunis. It sits, you know, almost at the northernmost point in Africa, really close to Italy, maybe like 100 kilometers away. And yeah, side note, it was like the former, that was like the location of the former Carthaginian Empire, which got destroyed by the Romans. So really fascinating history there, and I got to like read up and listen to a bunch of things on that before we went. And I suggest that with like anywhere you go, I think it's a good idea to like learn about the history of that place, and then as you travel, you'll end up just like learning a lot of history, getting a lot of context for like why the world is the way it is, or maybe some biases people have or you visit. All those things can kind of help you connect some dots. But yeah, there's also like even more recent history, like the Arab Spring started here, where a lot of like predominantly Arab, like some Muslim countries, kind of rose up and said, hey, we don't want dictators, we want like more freedom. So Tunisia was like where that actually started, and they had successfully like overthrew a dictator and then now have a democracy. And it was interesting talking to some people there saying like how crazy it was during like 2011. It was like a whole month or two of just like militarization of a civil uprising, but they ended up getting what they protested for, and they now have a democracy. And it is a really like, I don't want to say liberal place, but yeah, like there's a lot of, you can kind of do what you want. You know, it's a Muslim country, so you can't just like find beers everywhere. But we were able to find some beers at night, things like that. And like, you know, not every woman has a hijab on. Maybe closer to 50-50 or you know, plus or minus 10% each way. I wasn't really keeping track of that, but so yeah, like very welcoming, nice place. Like the people there are so nice. That was like one of the biggest things I'd say. But kind of rambling on here, so I'll now focus more on like the actual trip, which I said I was going to do. So yeah, I spent 3 days in Tunis, really nice city. Or no, 2 days in Tunis right at the start. So that's like the central part of Tunis, not Sidi Bou Said, which is the more touristy part. We went there later, and I'll talk about that more as when I come back to that point in the trip. So yeah, like we started in like the Tunis center where like the Medina is. And yeah, you could easily fill up a day or two just walking around the Medina, exploring the city, the new city where there's like more, you know, taller buildings, restaurants, and then, you know, may explore some mosques. We We went to the National Museum of Bardo, which is one of the best museums in Africa. They have a lot of like Roman mosaics and stuff, so I think that was worth hitting up. I generally enjoy museums, but I'm not going to go to like a ton when I'm on vacation or traveling. But yeah, I was really interested in like mosques and stuff. It was kind of hard to get into a lot of them. There was like one we were able to kind of like peek in and things like that, but I know some other countries, like my brother has been to Turkey, and you can kind of freely enter the mosques, but here, I would say generally have to be Muslim to enter them. You may get lucky and someone kind of lets you peek in, but for the most part, they kind of keep it for the people who practice that religion only. So I would say you wouldn't need more than 2 days in Tunisia or in Tunis. And then from there, we took a bus, 7 hour bus, to Tozer, which is a city in the desert, and it's actually pretty close to the Algerian border on the west side of the country. But this is one of the more interesting cities, and I feel like any city outside of Tunis is a little bit more hardy. I don't know, like more. Tunis definitely had a lot of character, but like in any place, when you get to the smaller cities, you really start seeing how people live. And yeah, Tozer was great. We didn't do any of the touristy things around Tozer. We only spent a day there. In Tozer, you can like go to some Star Wars sites. There's a lot of places they film Star Wars in Tunisia, but we weren't really too big on that. We kind of explored the Medina. Which, there's a Medina in every city. It's kind of like the central area where there's markets and like kind of the older part of town that's really nice to walk in. But yes, and then from there, we only spent maybe like 16 hours there, spent a night there. But that's all you need for a lot of these small places. I mean, you could stay longer and kind of catch a vibe, but if you're only on a 10-day trip, it's better to kind of see more things, kind of chill when you want to, like you don't want to be in a crazy rush. But yeah, so from there we took a louage, which is essentially like a big van, kind of fits 9 people, and that's the main way people travel from city to city in Tunisia. Yeah, you kind of just pay for a ticket, and when it fills up, you all go. And some of the best interactions we had with people were in those louages. I think on this particular louage, there's some ladies in the back, and they're kind of like, I guess, having fun that me and my brother were, these tourists, and like there was their daughter in there, she's maybe 20, and they were making jokes like, would you marry her, and things like that, and like talking to us the whole ride, even with language barrier. There it's mostly what's spoken is Arabic and French. Some people speak English, here and there, but having Arabic or French knowledge, it's really helpful if you're going there. But yeah, I took the louage from there to a city called Duz, kind of known as the gateway of the Sahara. Duz was a really interesting city. Yeah, I kind of walked around the Medina there, ate some places, went swimming in a pool in our hotel, which is really nice. And then prepared. So we spent a night there, and then we paid for I guess, trip into the Sahara Desert. So yeah, Duz is right on the edge of, well, technically in the desert, but it's kind of one of the last big cities before like the true desert. So we paid, a guy to drive us out 90 kilometers. There's a camp out there. We stayed at a camp called Camp Mars. They feed you. There's like a little tents there, or like pretty big tents there with beds in it that you can sleep in. Yeah, we spent a night in the Sahara. Just crazy sand dunes. Like, I would recommend that to anyone to go there, and see the Sahara Desert. It's just crazy. Like, there's a lot of rocky areas. I think most of the desert in total is like rocky. But like, when you get to those classic sand dune areas, it is just wild. Like, one of those places on Earth where you're just like, wow, I'm in the Sahara Desert, and you can see fucking to the end of the horizon, these like beautiful sand dunes. And yeah, it's really nice there. There's some people also in the camp, like, you know, these Armenian kids you were playing soccer with in the sand. Just a really great time there. And yeah, the stars there were crazy because you're just so far away from civilization or like the nearest city. So the stars are amazing. It gets really, really cold at night in the desert because, you know, sand doesn't really keep in heat or anything. But in the day, it was pretty hot there. So yeah, then we got driven out. It was about a 3 hour drive in, 3 hour drive out, and then went back to Duz. From Duz, you went to Gabez, which is on the eastern shore of Tunisia. It's in the south also. It's kind of a regional hub that connects, you know, cities like Duz, Tozer, to the ones in the north and the ones in the south. So we had to Louage to Gabez. From Gabez, we went to Sfax, which is one of the other big cities. I think it's the second biggest city in Tunisia. Spent a night there, you know, really, really hearty city. You know, there was no BS going on like in Tunis, where, you know, some things are set up for tourists, things like that in Tunis, but Sfax was just raw. Like, there's no souvenir stands or anything like that. You know, we walked around the Medina there, got dinner. Spent a night there, and then went up to El Jem, which is a really cool Roman amphitheater that was built like 2,000 years ago. Really recommend seeing that. It's one of the touristy spots in the country that is definitely worth seeing. You know, not quite as impressive as the Colosseum, but I think it's the second biggest amphitheater, and it's actually more well preserved than the Colosseum in terms of, like, you know, restorations. I think there's a lot of restorations that had to happen on the Colosseum. So El Jem, the amphitheater there, is really, really cool. And then we had to Louage the bus thing to Sousse. Didn't stay there. We just caught a Louage from Sousse to Kairouan, which was another really, really interesting city. So yeah, this was all on the same day. We saw El Jem, didn't sleep there, but then we went to Kairouan, got there at night, kind of explored around. So in Kairouan, there's the Great Mosque of Kairouan, which is the fourth most holy site in the Muslim world. So this city was a little bit more conservative. You know, you probably saw a little more, you know, people wearing hijabs. Like, it was a lot harder to find beers. We actually didn't find beers at all, which is the first time on the whole trip we didn't. It's always nice to have a beer after a long day with dinner. But yeah, we'd respect the culture, and, you know, makes sense that in this like really holy city there wasn't any. But yeah, just explored around, spent about a day there. You know, went through the Medina, you know, bought a couple souvenirs, saw the mosque, saw a couple other mosques and things there as well. And yeah, and then we went from Kairouan back up north. This has got to be day 8 now. Back up north to Tunis. And then in Tunis, we went to Carthage or Sidi Bou Said, kind of that area. Yeah, so this is the most touristy area in the country, the Sidi Bou Said area. It's very much like, looks like Santorini. There's these like white buildings with blue doors. Really nice there. Yeah. I'd recommend definitely going here. It's nice to like end the trip here because it was a little bit more relaxed, you know, not as crazy like all the traffic. Yeah, I'll get into like some of the more niche things like traffic and culture when I finish this. But yeah, saw some like Carthage ruins, you know, what's left of it. I think Rome did their best to like flatten a lot of stuff and just like destroy their culture. But, you know, there's some interesting things to see. Spent a little bit of time on the beach, but it, you know, really wasn't that hot. We went in like the start of March, and it is in Africa, but I mean, it's pretty northern, so it wasn't the best weather. But it did get hot, you know, some days in the desert, things like that. So yeah, I spent 2 days there. Went back into Tunis for maybe a few hours before our flight, hit up the Medina again, and then caught our flight out. We had like a 16-hour layover in Rome, which is really cool. Got to see the Colosseum, things like that, a nice Italian dinner, and then flew back to Toronto. So yeah, I recommend this route, this trip. You can do the northwest area. We just didn't really have time, so that's places like Duga and Ain Darahim. I think that's how you say it. But yeah, didn't end up getting there. But yeah, we didn't want to rush the trip. We already kind of like bounced around a lot, so we saw a bunch of different cities, got a good feel for the Tunisian culture. So yeah, that was our trip. Kind of did a little circle there from the north to the southwest, to the south, to the southeast, and then back up to the north in Tunis. Just some general notes on like some of the culture I noticed. I mean, the first day there was an absolute culture shock. Like, I've never been to anywhere like that. So the places I have traveled to, I've done a Europe trip with some three other of my friends. It's kind of Central Europe, like Budapest, Vienna, Prague. I've been to Sweden for a conference, and I've been to Ireland with family, and I've also been to Israel a couple years ago, which they aren't really covering themselves in glory right now, but it was the most comparable place I've traveled to in terms of Tunisia. It was like the only place that, I mean, Israel's pretty touristy, but there's some places we went that weren't. But yeah, just a crazy culture shock. Like, I've never been to somewhere in Tunisia like Tunisia, where the traffic is crazy. Like, it's not like India or Bangladesh level, but like trying to cross the street, you just have to like go. You just have to like step out, step in front of a car, step in front of the next car, hope they stop. But like, that's the only way you can cross streets, like in some areas. And I was like very confident at the start, like just stepping across there, like they're gonna stop for me. And then me and James, my brother, were just walking, and we just hear this like smack. Like, I thought it was a car crash, maybe like a fender bender. But we see this like guy, he's maybe like 20 years old or something. He's just sprinting, and he just got hit. And then people kind of chase after him. Someone in front of him kind of like stopped him, and then he kind of like started rubbing his head, and just like they just laid him down. But he got hit so hard by this car. I mean, it wasn't going crazy fast, but like maybe 20, 30 kilometers an hour. That, maybe 10, I don't know. Like, it was a busy street, but I mean, you get hit by a car, I mean, that's not gonna feel good. And he got hit so hard, I guess, and like maybe hit his head, that he just started sprinting. Like, I thought he maybe stole something and got hit and was trying to run away, but he just like got hit by a car and went into fight or flight mode. That was on the first day we were there, so that, I was just like, holy shit, like maybe I shouldn't be like so confident crossing these streets. Like we had to like sit down. Like, we went for dinner after, and I was just like happy to have like a break, just to like sit down and be like, holy fuck, like it's like good, it's crazy out here. Like, the culture shock in that sense, like in terms of cleanliness, like, I mean, Tunis was like fairly clean, but like so much litter like everywhere, like especially on the countryside, or like just people just litter there like crazy. Like we had that layover in Rome, I was saying, and like once we got there, we're like, oh my God, like everything is so clean here. Like, you don't notice it. Like, kind of got used to it in Tunisia, but very dirty. And like, I guess people have like bigger, people are trying to like feed their family there, and but it is a culture thing where like littering is allowed. Yeah, like the religion aspect is really cool. There's like mosques throughout the whole city, and then multiple times per day there'll be a call to prayer that like it just blasts out over these like speakers, like almost like an amp, like a, I don't know what it's called, like an amplophone or whatever, on the top of the mosque, like some guy yelling out like the call to prayer. So that was really always cool to see or hear during the day. But yeah, just The main takeaway is like how nice the people were. And like so many people would be like scared to like visit like some of these countries, but I felt so safe there, like safer than I did in walking around at Rome at night. I don't know. Like, I think there's a lot of Western propaganda of Muslim countries. Like, I know there's some bad ones in the world, like, that aren't safe, things like that. But, like, overall, from what I've seen, like, such nice people. I don't know, just growing up, there's a lot of, like, cultural bias towards, like, some of these places where it's not going to be safe. There's going to be, like, these types of things happening. Like stereotype things, but I don't know. I think most people around the world on a human level are very nice. And like, this was like the nicest place I've been. Like, everyone was like, people would say, "Oh, where are you from?" We say Canada. It's like, "Oh, welcome to Tunisia." Like, so many people, like 10, 20, 30, 40 people, welcome to Tunisia. Like, just the nicest people. Like, our cab driver once, like, stopped the cab, stopped the meter. So we weren't paying. Went, got in line for food, waited 5 minutes, got food, gave me and my brother this traditional Tunisian thing to try. We ate it and they kept driving his cab. And like, we obviously tipped him after that, but like, he didn't expect anything. Like, he just bought us some food and gave it to us. He was like showing us around, like, he's like cool spots that he knows. I mean, cab drivers, you have to be careful. Like, anywhere in the world, they kind of try to like scam you, but like, this guy was not like that at all. So yeah, like, I felt so safe there. It is a bit of a hard year, like, there's, the streets aren't as clean, things like that, but yeah, so that's what I'd say. Like, traveling like opens your mind and perspective into like how many ways humans can live. I think a lot of people in Western culture may think we have it figured out and kind of apply our way of thinking to everywhere else in the world. Like, we've done it the best, and anywhere else that doesn't, do it the way we do it, there's something wrong with them. We need to help them. We need to, I'd agree we need to help people who are less fortunate, all those kind of things. But I don't know. Like, your perspective is your reality in a way. So, like, if you've only never visited any, like, real countries where, like, life is a lot different, then yeah, you wouldn't understand that people can live in all different types of ways. People have their own standards. And yeah, like, you don't want to be that like person who, telling everyone how to live, because, unless you're fighting for like some fundamental things like freedom, the ability to eat, the ability to be safe, people can live all different types of ways, and you're not, one to judge other people's, like, how their religion works, how they live, things like that. So that's just like one big thing about traveling in terms of perspective. And yeah, just the fact that it was like, I don't think it's a third world country, definitely not a first world country, but yeah, like I'm saying, we shouldn't judge their culture, things like that. But at the same time, we do have it better here. Like, I'm from Canada. Definitely have it better here in many ways. Because they speak French there, many people thought we were from Quebec. They'd instantly say, "Oh, from Canada? Are you from Quebec?" Because so many of them want to like get visas to work there. And I don't know, just some of the nicest people, and like the ceiling there, in terms of like financial opportunities, it's like not high at all. Like, it was so sad one day, like, our receptionist at a hotel was like showing us her visa application. Like in Tunisia, like, reality is like not doing much better than a receptionist. Like, it's, you can't just like start owning a company. Like, the economy's not good. Like, those types of opportunities, yeah, it, like, there's multiple times you're just getting emotional there. Like, I don't know, that's like, when I said like it was a life-changing trip, that was like mainly what I'm talking about. Just like so grateful to live in Canada, and like, I want to continue to like try to help people. And yeah, like, I have such respect for people that would like go to another country and immigrate, because everyone there, you talk to anyone in Tunisia, they love Tunisia. Like they, it's where their family's from. They love the country, yet they are willing to like get out and they want to move to Canada where they may not know people. So like I've s such like a new respect for, like, I don't know, just even in Canada, like people who are willing to leave their country. Like everyone loves the country they come from, generally. They love, you generally love the country you grew up in and like what country you identify with. So like if you're willing to do that, so much respect for you, and like you deserve so much sympathy. There's other like political issues with like all those types of things, like meta issues, like how many immigrants do we allow, all these things. But like on a human individual level, which is like what I've kind of been, this trip kind of changed, like just looking at things on like an individual human level, that like, yeah, just so much respect and sympathy for people who like made that decision. Yeah, because like things aren't amazing there. Like we saw some things that's just sad. Like I don't know, like me and my brother almost fucking broke down crying once. Like we just had dinner, so 10 p.m. we went to like this place, like really nice view, kind of a posh place there in Sidi Bou Said, like overlooking the ocean. We had some beers, we're feeling nice. Massive hill, like where we had to walk up. It was like pretty much a cliff. Well, it was paved and stuff, but it was just like a massive hill. And I guess people there collect like plastic bottles, like water bottles, for money. I guess you can return them someplace. And we're just walking down this hill, like having a good time talking. And we just look up, and like there's this dad and daughter. The daughter is probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 years old. It's 10:30 p.m. They both have these like massive pillow bag style like sacks, like kind of like a Santa Claus sack over their shoulder, filled, like it's almost on the ground, over their shoulder and then almost touching the ground, filled with plastic bottles. And they're like walking up this hill, checking the garbages. Just, I don't know, that's a reality in some of these places. Like, I know there's homeless people in Canada, and you should feel empathy for them and all those things, but like that's a reality for people there. Like 10, 12-year-old girl, like fresh face, like innocent face, just like 10:30 with her dad collecting bottles. Like, I don't know, we just like stopped and just gave him some of what we had in our wallet. And I don't know, it was one of those, like for the rest of the walk home, just couldn't shake it. I don't know, 5, 10 minutes, 20 minutes of just like, we didn't really say much. Just, I don't know. Yeah, we have a good, if you live in like a good country, appreciate how good you have it and try to go to some of these different places, help people and see the world and like gain some perspective on your life and some of the issues that you may think is a big deal over here. And you realize that, you have it really good. So yeah, I'm gonna continually try to step up and go to more places, more real, raw places, maybe further into Africa. I'm only 25, so long journey ahead. Gonna go to some cool places in the future. And yeah, I think, oh, a key marker for a fulfilling life is how many experiences you've had. If you look back on your year, December 31st, January 1st, what did you do that year? I think most people generally think of, did I go on any trips? Okay, you went on like a skiing trip. That's cool. Nothing wrong with that. Like, if that's the way you want to live, like, that's totally fine. Like, hope you had a good year. But I don't know. These type of experiences are like next level. Like, I think everyone should try to like see the world, see the beauty that's out there. And yeah, you look back on your year, what did you say you did that year? Did you push yourself? Did you like get out of your comfort zone? Yeah, so this is almost 30 minutes, which is surprising. I just kind of rambled on, but great trip. I'd highly recommend going to Tunisia. Very safe place, a little bit of difference in culture, but you can get by that.